And we started out with a reading from the prophet Jeremiah, and he was, like a lot of other prophets, a reluctant prophet, right? Hey, I'm too young. I don't have the right words to say. God, I think you picked the wrong person. And what a response God had. Before you were in your mother's womb, I already had a plan for you. Before you were born, I already knew what I had planned for you. And so even though Jeremiah felt he didn't have the words to say, he wasn't eloquent enough, he wasn't trained in being a prophet, God said, you know, this is about you saying my words, not yours, so don't worry about it. I'll give you the words you need to say. And I know that's something I had to overcome when I was learning about making pastoral care visits when I was a layperson, long before I was a Stephen minister, long before I was ordained, when there was this first initial class I went to about how to call on people. And I figured I had to memorize a script, and I had to make sure I said just the right words. And there are things that I've learned through the years that are helpful to initiate a conversation. But actually, one of the best lessons I ever had was when I was asked to call on teenagers who were in the hospital. And the story behind it was that a lot of teenagers still go to their pediatricians. And so when they go into the hospital, in order for their pediatricians to continue to treat them, they have to be in the youth part of the hospital. Well, that's not where people who are coming to make pastoral visits are expecting to find teenagers. And so the result is there's this whole age group of kids in the hospital that nobody calls on. Nobody stops in and says hi. Just the nurses, right, to wake them up to see if they're sleepy. And so I ended up making a couple of visits where it just was awkward. You know, I didn't want to quote scripture. It just didn't seem like the right setting. And they're teenagers besides, right? And so I ended up deciding to go to a religious gift store, and I just bought a little lapel pin cross that was like a less than a half, like a quarter of an inch high. I still have it. And I just put it in the collar of my shirt. Didn't say anything about that, but just wore it as I went in and called on these kids. Well, rely on teenagers to spot everything. I mean, the first room that I walked in wearing this cross, the boy looked at me and said, well, you know, I don't read the Bible. It was the first thing that he said to me. And and it gave me an opening to say, well, what do you read? And we just had a great conversation about church and about prayers. And it went in the direction it needed to go. And I think that's something that we're being taught by Jeremiah, that we don't have to practice a script. But there's something else important in that encounter with God, that he said, God said, I'm sending you into the nations, not to Jerusalem, not to Bethlehem, not to Nazareth, not to Capernaum. I'm sending you into the nations. He's saying that this isn't about being part of the people of God, part of the holy nation of Israel. This word that God wants spread is for all of humanity. It's for everybody. And so that's what Jesus was encountering when he gave his short sermon, you know, that this is happening in your hearing today. He was encountering a great reception of that. They were happy about that. They were happy with Jesus. They were happy he knew Jesus. But as soon as he said, he started quoting the experiences of Elijah and Elisha, that they ended up providing ministry to people outside of the nation Israel. That's when they got angry. They wanted to be able to have that special status and not to share it. And what we're being taught by Jesus, by his preaching, but also by his life, is that we are called to really speak about our faith to everyone. Not just friends, not just to parish members, not just to other Christians, but to everybody. And as I think I said a couple weeks ago, St. Francis is the one who said, you know, preach the gospel at all times, using words when necessary. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, that, you know, there are a lot of ways we can end up saying, to others. This is what motivates our visit. So Paul ended up writing this beautiful passage, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that is referred to as the love chapter. And of the weddings that I've presided through my ministry, most of those weddings used that passage because it is this wonderful love letter, right? But actually, when you dig into it, there's something even more powerful that's being represented in that letter. Think about the context. He was not writing to a couple getting married. He was not writing about a marriage service. He was writing to the people of Corinth who were fighting with each other. Because they said, well, I've got the gift of healing, look at me. And, oh, I've got the gift of tongues, look at me. And, well, my gift is stronger than your gift, and you don't have any gift, so I'm a better Christian than you are. And it was tearing them apart. And Paul was saying, what are you doing? That is not what we're about. We are about agape. And I've preached to you before about this word agape, and every place that love appears in that 13th chapter, if you look at the Greek, which is the language that he spoke in when he delivered that, and it was written in the original writings, it was in Greek, the word is agape. And agape does not mean an emotional connection with somebody. It means having the heart of a servant and serving, selfless giving. And what Paul is really saying here is that that's what they need to seek, is that attitude towards everybody else. And he was saying that is through our living that kind of life, that's how we receive the most important gift of all. So isn't that an interesting twist? He's saying by living by the attributes of agape, which he's saying means that when we are caring for each other and for others, we are patient, we are kind, we are not envious, we don't insist on our own way, we're not irritable or resentful. Isn't that interesting? It's not about a bride or a groom. It's about our behavior towards other people, even non-Christians. It's about anybody. And we bear all things. We believe all things. We hope all things. We endure all things. So that is our attitude. And in return, we get this most important gift. I have an example I want to share of that. Last year, we ended up creating this awesome memorial garden out on our property. And that required the work of 6 or 7 people in the parish. I'd have to look at my notes, and I'm trying hard not to do this morning, who were all involved in marking out where it would be and building a fence and sanding and priming and painting it and digging and forming molds and mixing concrete and pouring slabs and using trucks to go and get patio blocks and deliver a very heavy bench and to deliver that gorgeous statue of an angel that's out there. All that was given. It was donated. A few weeks ago, we were at a finance meeting with Debbie Scherer. And she said, you know, I'm trying to wrap up finances for the year, and I'm just not sure about that memorial garden because I added up the expenses from the operating budget for the memorial garden. It only added up to $20. I said, yeah, that sounds about right because everything else was donated, the labor and the money to make that happen. But, you know, I know that I could approach any of those 7 people who were involved in making that memorial garden a reality, and every one of them would immediately say, I received more than I gave. I received more than I gave. That's the gift. That's the blessing. And so it's saying by our living, by those attributes that Paul listed in 1 Corinthians, we receive even more than we give. So we've been known before we were born, and we've been commissioned to serve. And the service that we're called to provide is an agape-centered, not a self-centered, but an agape-centered love. Amen.